I had somebody this week who emailed me and said, "Pastor, you never believe what I did." He goes, "I was talking to somebody, and I wanted to ask these guys to join me in a Bible study at work. And so as I knew God was asking me to do it, but I was scared to do it because I didn't know what to say." And he goes, "And as I stepped out to ask them to join me in a Bible study, they asked me why. They asked me why I should, and why I should dismiss all the kids. That's why they're asking me right now." Everybody round up. It's time to go. All the elementary age children, yes. Let's bless our children as they go. Yes, give them a hand. All of our elementary age kids will be in this room right next door, left there. Grades first grade through fifth grade will be right there waiting for your parents. And they're over waving. But with five kids, sometimes I have a tendency to not see them waving because they're always waving at dad. Money, dad. So, well, today, as I was talking about, he emailed me and said, "Pastor," he said, "I stepped out. I was asking these guys to do a Bible study in my job." He goes, "I knew it was a risk for me to do this." So he was taking a risk. How many know that God wants us to take risks? We talked about this last week, about taking a risk. And he said, "I asked these guys to join me in a Bible study, and they asked me the question that I did not have the answer for. Why?" And he said, "As soon as they asked me why, the Holy Spirit dropped into my heart the phrase, daily meditation is better than daily medication." He said, that makes sense to us. And so they're going to join him in a Bible study. He's like, "I don't know where that came from." He's like, "The Holy Spirit just dropped that into my lap." And he says, "Thank you for challenging us to take risk and get out of our comfort zone." And I know different ones of you have shared similar stories over the last 4 or 5 weeks that God is moving you out of your comfort zone, that God is moving you to a place of taking risks, of getting out of the place that we have called the comfort zone. We have a recliner on stage, and we've had it for the last 4 or 5 weeks, and we are talking about moving out of this place that we are calling comfort, that we have a comfort zone that we are used to being in. And everybody likes to live in comfort, don't we? I mean, the best place for me to be is in a recliner, watching a game in high def or surround sound with a glass of tea or water or something, man. You know, my kids with a fan doing this right here. I mean, it's just great. I mean, it's a place of comfort that we like to live in. And we all like to live in this place of comfort. And as we're studying that God is calling us not to live just in comfort. Yes, there is a comfort that comes with knowing who God is in our life. There's a peace that comes with knowing that even through moves and through transitions in our life, that God is in control. And I receive comfort in knowing who God is in my life. But he has never called me to stay here in the comfort zone. As a Christian, he says, "I am sending you out as sheep among wolves." And what does that mean? That means that it's not always going to be easy. It's not always going to be comfortable to do what God has asked you and I to do. We talked about becoming fishers of men, and that you and I are called to be fishers of men. And that he said, "Those who what? Follow after me, and I will make you fishers of men." So we have come to the conclusion that if I am truly a follower of Christ, I am fishing. If I'm not fishing, we ask the question, am I a true follower? And that's the question that we're asking ourselves. We have to learn to get out of our comfort zone and share who Christ is, to take a risk and allow the Holy Spirit to operate in our life. Today I want to talk to you a little bit different about our comfort zone, a comfort zone that we live in. I want to talk to you today about moving beyond your past, moving beyond your past. That so many times in our life that we have a past that is so evident, is so right there. I mean, it's just like this man right here. The past has got a wall right there. And as much as we want that wall to come down, we really don't want that wall to come down. As much as we say, "Oh, if I can only get rid of this, if I can only stop doing this, if I can only take this away, I could do what God's asked me to do. I could grow. I could get beyond. I could heal. I could do this. There's so many things that we say, if I could just get beyond my hurt, if I could just get beyond my guilt, if I could just get beyond my past." And today, God has not called us to live in a spirit in our past. He hasn't called us to live there. Matter of fact, we see our past as a place that will keep us right here. And even though we don't like our past, we despise we despise that first marriage that you had, it was abusive. Some of you despise that relationship, it was bad. Some of you despise some of the things that have happened. Some of you despise the person you was before you were saved. Some of you despise the person that you have become since you've been saved. Okay. As much as we despise that, it's still real easy to stay right here. God, I would do something for you, but I could never do anything for you, God, because I'm such a failure. God, I would do this, but you know, I was hurt. God, I would get out and love again, but you know, they hurt me last time I opened my heart up. God, I would get out, but so it's so much easier to build these walls around us and say, I'm just going to isolate myself and stay right here and where I'm at. And even though we don't like being here, we have grown to be comfortable in our misery, in our guilt. We have grown to be comfortable right here, and we use it for a crutch to keep us from being obedient to what God wants to do in our life. So today I'm talking about leaving that past behind, moving beyond our past, learning to go forward. Philippians, our text today, Philippians 3:12 through 14. And it says this, let's read it together. I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but this one thing I do, forgetting which is behind me, straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win for the prize which God has called me toward the heavenward in Jesus Christ. Now, Paul is making a statement here talking about how do I go forward? How do I get beyond my comfort zone? If I want to go somewhere, if I want to do something for God, how do I go forward in Him? He makes it very clear. I've got to move beyond. Write this down. I cannot relate to the present if I'm still reacting to the past. Let me say it again. I cannot relate to the present if I'm still reacting to the past. If I'm always reacting to my past, I'm going to stay right here where I'm at. I'm going to be here since 1986. I've been right here, and I ain't living. Because this is where I was hurt. This is where the damage happened. This is where I was hurt. This is where it all happened. This is where the failure took place. 1997, I blew it. And we live right here. And we'll stay in 1997, 40 years down the road, if we're not careful. We have learned to camp right here in our past because it is a place of comfort, because we use it for an excuse not to go beyond where God has us. Oh, I would do more in the church, but last time I got involved in the church, the pastor hurt me. Or I would do this, but the people talked about me last time. Or I would trust again. I would teach again. I would serve again. It's really, see how really easy it is? And so instead of me stretching, instead of me taking a risk again, it's a lot easier for me to live right here in the comfort. God, I know who I am in you, but I've blown it. We're going to talk about this today, moving beyond our past. We rehearse our resentments. We go over and over in our mind about bitterness and things that we are bitter about against the people who have hurt us and what they did to us. We camp right there. Then once we rehearse them in our resentments, then we remember our regrets. We regret the feeling guilty about what we did, the mistakes that we made. We had this remorse that comes on us, and we move into reinforce our remorse. We feel really down then. And so we rehearse these bitterness in our mind, and we go over them, the hurt that I went through. Then we get this remorse that comes on us, either guilt or feeling anger again or bitterness, all these emotions. And when I go and live, I'll live right here. I'll live right here when I rehearse those things in my mind, when I rehearse how I was hurt, when I rehearse what they did wrong to me, when I rehearse who said what about me, when I rehearse how they hurt me, I am staying right here. And God has not called me to stay right here. He has called me to walk daily after Him, to get out of my comfort zone and to continue follow after Him, to be a follower and a fisher of men. So how do you spell relief? Anybody know how you spell relief? It used to be Rolaids, but now I like what verse 12 says. I let go of the past and I hold on to the future. Forget the former and focus on the future. That's how I do it. I forget the former and I begin to put my focus on the future. Today, I don't care about where you've been. I don't say that today with not being sensitive, because I know that every one of us have a story, and not that I don't care about your story and things that God has brought you through. But I'm saying today, I don't care about where you've been. I care about where you're going. And today, God, He does care about our past, and yes, He wants to heal us, but He has never called me to live in my past. He has called me to go forward, to learn to forgive, to heal, and to move forward. And so today we're talking about, how do we do that? How do we move beyond our past? Number one, I must give up my grudges. Very plain and simple. Ephesians 4:31 says it like this: get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate toward one another. Forgive each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. How many today can raise your hand and say, God has forgiven me of a lot of things? Today, if you're a Christian, God has forgiven you. When nobody else maybe wanted to forgive you, God forgave you. When nobody else would wipe the slate clean, when they would hold your past over your head, God says, I will not do that to you. He has forgiven you. He says, in the same way that we, you and I, are to forgive others, the same way that He has forgiven us, we are to let go. Look what it says, get rid. How many know what it means to get rid of? Do we get rid of something like this? If this represents my past, do I get rid of it like this? All right, I'm leaving today. I'm going to get out of my comfort zone. I'm leaving my comfort zone. I was there, but now I'm here. Woo, hallelujah. But I'm still hanging on to this past. I'm still hanging on. Because why? Because if I ever get to a place where I need an excuse, I could pull this out. You know, I would, but I was hurt. Remember? Hey, I got the badge right here. Let me share something with you today. Maybe you didn't know this today, but we've all been hurt. Everyone's been hurt. In different forms or fashion, we have all been hurt, disappointed. Some of you have suffered some major abuse in your life. And maybe I can't relate to some of the things you've been through, and I realize that. But every one of us in some way or form or fashion have been hurt deeply in our life. And if we're not careful, we'll live there for the rest of our life. We're called to get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. He called me to be kind and compassionate to one another. And that's an easy thing to do, isn't it? That's hard. That's even harder than getting rid of your bitterness. Not only does He want me to get rid of my bitterness, now He wants me to go out and be kind. I mean, you talk about a double whammy. And many times it's to the very person that hurt you that He wants you to be the kindest to. Why is that? Because when I do that, it brings healing to my body. It brings healing to my spirit. It says I'm releasing them. The problem is this. It's that it doesn't work, that we have got to let go of our past. We cannot hang on to our past. Resentment will never do anything other than bring you down. Resentment will never do anything other than keep you right there. You know who resentment hurts? Do you know who bitterness hurts? It doesn't hurt the person who hurts you. It hurts you. Because you are saying, I am choosing to be bitter at you. I am choosing to be angry at you. I am choosing to hold a grudge against you. And I am empowering that person to have control over my life. That person does not have control of my life. Me and God have control of my life. And when I choose to hang on to my past, I am choosing to allow that person to continually hurt me day after day after day. And that person's on the beach in Hawaii somewhere surfing, having a good time. That person probably has asked God to forgive them, and they're living and live a joyful life. Man, they're having a great time. But yet, we're sitting over here still mad and allowing that person to keep me from being the person God has called me to be. I've got to get rid of it. Resentment never does anything but allow that person to hurt me and control my life. Nobody can make you mad without your permission. Nobody can make you mad without your permission. I've got to give you permission to upset me. I may not like what you do, but at some point, I've got to take on and say, you know what? I'm going to get mad about that. I'm going to get upset about that. I'm going to pout about that. I'm going to hold a grudge about that. I'm going to do this. See, I have to give you permission to do that to me. And so we got to learn to let it go. Let it go. Let me say it again. Let it go. Get rid of it. Scripture is very clear. Get rid of all bitterness. Let it out. Let it get rid of it. Your past is your past. It cannot hurt you unless you allow it to. Let go of your grudges. Look what Job 5:2 says. To wear yourself to death with resentment would be a foolish and senseless thing to do. It doesn't help, it only hurts. What wise words. To wear yourself to death with resentment would only be a foolish and senseless thing to do. How many like to live your life foolish or senseless? None of us do we? That's what he's saying. When we hold in resentment, we are killing ourselves. Spiritually and physically and emotionally, when I hold in resentment, I am allowing myself to come under that attack of that resentment. It's foolish. Let it go. Job 18:4 says, you are only hurting yourself with your anger. Notice it doesn't say, I'm hurting you with my anger. If I'm mad at Fred, I'm not going to hurt Fred. He's going to say, so I'll see you, Pastor. Who cares? I'm sorry. You know, I'm not hurting Fred with my anger. I'm hurting myself. I'm hurting myself. Am I hurting my spouse with my anger? No. That spouse is going to see it as a reason to get to go fishing without having to worry about it. I'm worried about it. You're hurting yourself. The resentment and the anger. Let it go. Let it go. He says we are only hurting ourselves with the anger. And who are we hurting the most? We're hurting those around us. We hurt those around us. Let it go. I must give up my grief. Number two, I must give up my grief. When it comes to moving beyond your past, we must learn to give up our grief. Now listen, you're not human if you haven't had sorrow in your life. You're not a human being. If you're breathing today, you've had disappointments and you've had things in your life that have been major disappointments in your life, sorrow. Whether it be a loss of someone who was close to you, a death of somebody who was close to you, or maybe it's somebody who hurt you in a real bad way. Maybe it's somebody who did you wrong in a marriage, and someone who was abusive, someone who did things to you that was really grieved your heart into a deep way. Listen to what the Bible says. It says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be, what? Comforted. So we know that there's nothing wrong with mourning. But there's a big difference between mourning and moaning. Let me say it again. There's a big difference between mourning and moaning. Moaning is self-pity. Notice the difference. Moaning, when I am moaning about and complaining, it's poor me. I'll quit. I give up. And some of us here, we have allowed our grief to stop us, and we have not ever moved beyond our mourning time. It's okay to take a season of life and to mourn the things that we lost. When Jesus arrived at the tomb of Lazarus, his close friends, and they told him that his best friend had died, it says Jesus stopped and he wept. I mean, even Jesus took time to mourn the death. And I'm sure he was not only mourning the death, and he knew he was going to raise him from the dead. But he was thinking, you know what, he had to die. And he's thinking about the family that had to think that this brother's dead. Now, it moved his heart and he wept. It's okay to mourn. Scripture is very clear. There's a time to cry. There's a time for crying. There's a time for mourning. And he says, as a Christian, that he will comfort us. Blessed are those who mourn. They shall be comforted. And so we all need healthy ways of mourning. And that looks different. It looks different. But if I'm not careful, I will mourn the rest of my life. If I'm not careful, that spirit will grow from mourning to moaning. Woe is me. Woe is me. I'll never get beyond this. I'll never do anything else. I'll never love again. I'll never trust again. I'll never do this again. I'll never serve again. I'll never, never, never. And we moan. Look at me. Look what has happened to me. See, there's a difference between mourning and moaning. It's a difference between self-pity and being stuck there for all your life. And for different ones, it takes different times. So some people, they can mourn 6 months and they're doing better. Some people need a couple of years. I don't know the time frame. I'm not here to be the doctor and tell you exactly the time frame that it takes for everyone to mourn their situation. And I'm just here to tell you that, yes, it's a healthy thing to mourn your losses. Some of you, that's been part of your problem. You never mourned your losses. You act like they never happened. And so, but you've got this wall built up. And so there is a time to mourn what you have lost. But we cannot stay there. will stay right there, and it will keep you from getting to the place that God has called you to be. So how do we stop this grief? How do we move beyond our grief? Number one, we must accept what I cannot change. Many of you are in pain from events that happened years and years ago. The key to your peace of mind is one word, acceptance. I accept God's will for my life. And that means no matter what I go through, that I have to accept it as God's will for my life. If I lose a spouse, if I lose someone close to me, whether it be from a death or a divorce or someone hurt me, I have to accept that it's God's will for my life, and I must continue to say, God, you're going to help me. And listen, this is what's so cool. You know what? God never promised me I wouldn't go through mourning. He never promised me I wouldn't have times of mourning. He never promised me I wouldn't have times of grief. He never promised me I wouldn't have times of hurt. So today, if you think just because you're a Christian, you say, why am I still going through these things in my life? He never promised me I would not have these times in my life. But what he did promise me was this, that I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. And that's what separates us from the world as Christians, that when I go through my mourning, that I know the Holy Spirit is right here and he's comforting me. And the Holy Spirit is right here and he is healing my heart. And as I come to acceptance of God, I don't understand why this happened. God, it makes no sense to me at all. It makes total no sense to me. Though you slay me, though will I trust you, O Lord. As I put my trust in him, God, you are in control of my life. And God, your will is beyond what I know. It's beyond what I can comprehend, even though my human mind does not understand it. And I'm mourning this loss. I'm mourning this disappointment. I'm mourning this hurt. I refuse to allow that thing to kill me. I refuse to allow that thing to stop me from living the life that you've called me to live. But if I'm not careful, it's very easy to say, you know what? I'm giving up on life right here. And I'm going to build this wall right here. No one's going to get in, and I'm not going to get out. And I'm going to just go through the motions the rest of my life. See, God wants us to get beyond this place right here. It's a time to move beyond our mourning. And we do that by accepting what cannot be changed and putting our trust in the Lord. Play it down and pray it up. How do we get beyond this mourning? We play it down and pray it up. I don't exaggerate. You ever knew somebody that the more they told the story about their hurt, the greater it got? It's kind of like the fisherman who caught the fish, you know, that was this big. And by the time he tells the 10 guys, it got to be this big. It's kind of like that hole-in-one guys that really wasn't a hole-in-one, you know, but you walked up there and you kicked the ball. And by the time you get to the story a few times, it becomes a hole-in-one, you know. We exaggerate. The same thing happens with our mournings. We exaggerate what we're going through. We can play it up or we can play it down. Your grief, you play it down and you pray it up. I don't exaggerate. The world has not ended. You ever notice that? That when you go through a grief in your life, the world has not ended? It feels like it, doesn't it? It's one of the craziest things. You'll go through a funeral and everybody stops what they're doing and they come to your house and they bring you food and they pray with you and they just show you all kinds of love and you go to the memorial and then you have the service and everything that happens. And you get so much support, and you're like, man, this is great to have friends. But you ever notice what happens on day four after the funeral? The world keeps on going. The world keeps on going. And the phone calls aren't as often as they used to be, and the letters aren't as much as they used to be. And you find yourself having to choose, are you going to live right there the rest of your life, or are you going to get up and you're going to join the human race and say, God, even though I don't like it, even though my heart is hurting, because I miss that person. Even though, God, I don't understand why, I've got to move beyond this. God, even though I don't understand why I was hurt this way, I am not going to stay there. I'm going to get out by faith. And it's tough. I have to get out. I say, oh, I don't like it. And sometimes I put on a fake smile. Yeah, I'm doing okay. I'm not doing okay. But I'm making those steps of faith saying, God, I'm putting my trust in you. I am praying it up and I'm playing it down. Isaiah 6 said it like this. I like what Isaiah said. He says, in the year the king Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. What was he saying? King Uzziah was one of the great rulers of Judah. And man, he had served for over 50 years. He was a strong, great leader. He was a spiritual rock of that kingdom, of that region. And man, he was there leading. And when he died, it put everybody in a tailspin. You know, who's going to lead us next? Who's going to be the great person? And Isaiah said, you know, in the year he died, that's when I saw God the most. He revealed himself to me the most. In my grief, in my sadness over what I had lost, I saw the Lord. And I can tell you that in our own personal life, that there's been times that we went through major grief in our life, that it's in those times that when I went through the grief, that I saw the Lord the most. It's in those times of great mourning that I saw the Lord the most. And I didn't even understand what was going on, why we had to go through what we were going through. It's in those times that I saw the Lord, that I saw the Lord. Allow him. Focus on him. Number three, focus on what's left, not what's lost. Focus on what's left, not what's lost. In closing today, the last thing today is we move past your past. Moving beyond your past, you must give up your guilt. You must give up your guilt. Some people refuse to accept forgiveness from God. They hang on to their guilt, and they lock themselves in a prison as they are paying for their own sins. That describes so many people I've met over the years. I've met people who feel they are in a penalty box for the rest of their life because of mistakes that they made. I blew it, Pastor. I blew it. And so for the rest of my life, I'm going to live right here. I know God wants me to do great things. I knew God had a plan for me. God had a great will for me, Pastor, but I blew it. I made a big mistake. And so now I'm in the penalty box the rest of my life. I'm just going to be lucky to squeak into heaven, Pastor. I'm just going to be lucky. I'm just lucky. I'm trying, you know. And we allow our past guilt to keep us right there. We allow the guilt of our past failure, of our moral failure, the things we have done in our life that we're very ashamed of, things that we've done that if people really knew, we'd be like, ah, what would they think of us? What would they think of me? We allow those things. And it's kind of like the Humpty Dumpty syndrome. All the king's horses and all the king's men, but nobody's going to put me back together again. I've fallen, and I can't get up. God is a forgiving and gracious God. Some of you say, but I've let Jesus down so much. I've let God down so much. Let me give you some hint right here. You have never let God down. You know why? Because you were never holding him up. How can I let God down? I've never been holding him up. It's just the opposite. He's holding me up. He's got me in the palm of his hands. You see, I am not called to live in guilt. And guilt will keep us just there, just like anything else will. Guilt will keep you from moving beyond where God has called us to be. There's two ways you can respond to guilt. The way Judas did it in Matthew 27, it says, when Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse, and then he went out and hanged himself. Now listen, let me tell you very clearly right here. Judas had betrayed God. We know the story. Many of you have heard the story. You've watched the movie. You know what happened. Judas betrayed Jesus, and he was so remorseful, so full of guilt, that he went out and committed suicide. It says he hung himself. And let me say that to you today, that if you do not learn to get beyond your guilt, you will hang yourself on your guilt. If you do not learn to get beyond your past will hang you. It will stop you from being the person God has called you to be and to get to where God's calling you. You've got to move beyond your guilt. And so how do we do that? We do the way Peter did. In Matthew 26, and verse 75, it says, and then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken to him, and he went outside and wept bitterly. Peter betrayed Christ the same night, but Peter betrayed him three times. He said he didn't know who he was. He denied even knowing him. And Peter was full of remorse, and he went outside and he wept, and we see that he confessed. You say, Pastor, how do we know that Peter confessed? Scripture doesn't say Peter confessed that he was wrong. Scripture does not say Peter confessed that he was wrong, but it does say this, just a few days later, that on the day of Pentecost, that Peter was there, and that when people came out of the streets saying, what's going on? These people are speaking a different language. Are they drunk? Man, what's happened? It's not the time of the day to be drunk. Peter stands up, full of the Holy Spirit and says, they're not drunk as you suppose, but these people are they're full of Jesus Christ, man. And he begins to talk about the first New Testament sermon, and he gives it out there, man. And 3,000 people are saved right then. We see it by his fruit. You see? We see the fruit. God would not have used the fruit in his life if he was not had a repentant heart. And we see where he wept bitterly. And we can see by the fruit that he had a repentant heart, and God used him just a short time later to reach 3,000 people. Judas hangs himself, and Peter reaches 3,000 people. Both of them did the same thing. So are you going to live your life like Judas, allowing your past, your guilt, your remorse to keep you right here, or are you going to be like Peter and say, God, forgive me, and I'm going to move on? God, I know I let you down, but God, just give me one more chance. God, I'll do it. God, I'll do anything you want me to do. Move beyond your guilt. Don't blame other people. Got to move beyond your guilt. Let me give you two scriptures here in closing. Pastor Matt's coming. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How many, everybody say all? Isn't that a good word, all? Aren't you glad he says he's not faith and just to forgive us of some? But he says he forgives us of all unrighteousness. Jesus Christ was nailed to a cross, so you can quit nailing yourself there. Let me say it again. Jesus Christ was nailed to a cross so that you and I could quit nailing ourselves to a cross daily with our guilt, with our grudges, with our grief. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things that passed. He says, old things are passed away. And behold, all things. Is that word all again? Don't you love that word all? All things become new. That's the kind of God that you and I serve. That he can wipe the slate clean, that he won't hold against us, that when we ask for forgiveness, that he wipes it away, never to be brought back up again. And so I've got to quit allowing my guilt over mistakes I've made keep me from doing what God's called me to do, learning to move beyond our past. What today is keeping you in your past? Is it a grudge, bitterness, unforgiveness in your heart or towards somebody? Is it the morning time that you're going through, remorse in your life of a loss, and you stayed there just grieving that loss? Or maybe it's just guilt over something you've done in your life that has just paralyzed you spiritually because you feel like, I'm never worthy to do anything for God again. And even though you know you're forgiven, you keep trying and trying to work even harder to prove that you are. And where are you holding back today? What is keeping you back from your past today? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. Today, with every head bowed and every eye closed, first of all, I want to ask you this question. If you're here, you say, Pastor Gene, you're talking about all these things today, and I just got to be honest and say, first of all, not only do I have a past, I've never asked Jesus Christ to come and be Lord of my life. I've never asked him to forgive me of my sins today. And as you're talking today, I realize that I need this kind of forgiveness in my life. I need this forgiveness in my life. And with no one looking but me, I won't embarrass you. I want to give you a chance to respond today. If you hear, you say, I want to ask Jesus Christ into my life today. Can you just raise your hand where you're at and say, it's me? Can you lift it high? I can see it. Second question I have for you today is this. You say, Pastor, as you were talking about these three areas, guilt, bitterness, grudges. Remorse. I see that I've stayed right there. I've allowed myself to stay in that comfort zone because I've been hanging on to my past in one of these ways. I've allowed this thing to keep me from going beyond and doing what God's called me to do. And today I want to raise my hand saying, I'm going to move beyond it. Today I want to declare by raising my hand that I want the Holy Spirit to help me to move beyond my past today. I bet you this message was touching you and reaching you. Can you raise your hands? That's me. Thank you. Several hands. Anybody else today? He said, I'm refusing to allow my past to hold me back any longer. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else today? He said, my past is not going to stop me from being the person God's called me to be. I'm going to move beyond that. I'm going to embrace the forgiveness and the grace and mercy that God has for me. I'm going to embrace tomorrow. I'm going to stop living in 1986. I'm going to stop living in 1993. And I'm going to move beyond and allow the Holy Spirit to heal my heart. Doesn't mean I'm completely pain-free. Doesn't mean I'm still going to have to work on some issues in my life. But I'm saying right now, I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to help me move beyond. Maybe it's a church hurt. Maybe it's a spouse that hurt you. Whoever it was, you're saying today, I'm refusing to stay here. And today I'm raising my hand saying I'm going to learn to move on through the help of the Holy Spirit. If that's you, one more time, can you raise your hand? Say, that was me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Several hands going up today. So I'm going to invite you to stand with me today. I'm going to pray for you today. And I believe the Holy Spirit today is doing something in many people's hearts here today. Several hands were raised today. Several hands were raised today. And as to be expected, we all have these things in our life we got to learn to work through to keep us from being the person God's called us to be. I'm just believing today is the start of a new day for you. Those of you who raise your hands, I'm believing today is a new start for you. That you're learning to move beyond. And tomorrow, you're not going to go back and sit in that same comfort. But you're going to get up and you're going to begin to live again. You're going to begin to breathe some fresh air of the Holy Spirit in your life. You're going to learn to see some things you haven't seen in a while. You're going to learn to put on some new glasses. You're going to learn to see the world a little more positive tomorrow. You're going to learn to forgive some people and stop allowing them to control you through your resentment and bitterness and grudges. Father, I pray especially for those people who raised their hands today, who admitted that, Father, they have allowed something in their past to keep them from being the person you've called them to be. Just keep them from being the parent they've called to be. To keep them from being the spouse you've called them to be. To keep them from being the witness you've called them to be. Father, whether it be a church hurt, a relationship hurt, God, whether it be a grudge, a bitterness, whether it be guilt over something we've done in our life, Father, I pray that right now, that Father, you are removing our past from us, God. That you are knocking down that wall. That you are pulling us out of our comfort zone, God. And you're helping us to move beyond our past today. Only through the power of your Holy Spirit, which can empower us to do such a thing. Because on our own, we can't do it. But God, we're choosing today to say, Holy Spirit, we say yes to you. Holy Spirit, we need you today. Fill us right now, Father. Fill us right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. Fill us right now, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we say yes. We say yes to you in Jesus' name. Through the power of your Holy Spirit today, Father, we speak. May it come. Freeing us up, God. Freeing us today, God. Freeing us today, God. Father, right now, we speak it. And may it be so in Jesus' name. Now, can you just lift your hands as a sign? When we lift our hands, it's a sign of freedom. That's all I want you to do. It's a symbolic saying, Father, you have set me free today. God, you're setting us free, God. No longer are we going to allow things to hold us back. No longer are we going to allow guilt to hold us back from worshiping you the way we need to. No longer are we going to allow hurt to hold us back from serving. No longer are we going to allow hurts to hold us back from loving and living. But Father, we're not going to go back to that place. We refuse to go back to that place. But God, we are moving forward in you. And the only time we go back to that place is when we go back and say, look what the Lord has brought me from. May it be a testament to you, God. May it be a testimony of knowing that, God, you have brought us out of our past. And God, you're tearing down those walls. And God, we are moving out of that comfort zone, God, and we are going forward in you, never to be a slave to those past things again. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you today. Thank you so much. Walk in freedom today. Walk in the joy of the Holy Spirit. Shake a hand before you leave. Hug a neck before you leave. And say, God bless you.